Lord, we thank you that we are in your presence, and we come again to you to hear from you. And we pray that you would speak into our lives again in power and reveal the truth about our lives and how we should walk. We pray, open up the scriptures to us now and encourage us in the name of Jesus. Amen. So Joshua chapter 15. And verse 16, I'm going to read from verse 16. And Caleb said, "He that smiteth Kirjath-Sephir and taketh it, to him will I give Achsah, my daughter, to wife." And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Achsah, his daughter, to wife. And it came to pass, as she came unto him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field, and she lighted off her ass. And Caleb said unto her, "What wouldest thou?" Who answered, "Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land, give me also springs of water." And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. Amen. So here we have Caleb, who was a great man of God and a great warrior, and helped to lead them into the promised land. And here we have the story of his daughter and how Caleb promised to the person who smote Kirjath-Sephir that he could have his wife. So whichever warrior was victorious could have his daughter to wife. And it says that Othniel took the city, and so Caleb gave him Achsah, his daughter. But I want us to think about Achsah, the daughter of Caleb. And so as a result of this victorious man, as a result of Othniel, she is given a victory, she's given a husband, she's brought into a place of blessing. And she has there, she's alone, she's needing things to come into her life. If you imagine, she's just there as a daughter, but she needs blessings coming in. And this man, Othniel, wins her by conquering the enemy. And in that we see a picture of the cross, how our Lord Jesus Christ conquered our enemy, conquered death, conquered Satan at the cross. And as a result, he receives his bride, he receives the church. And we as the church receive these blessings that Othniel brings to us, and that come from the Father. And so she says to Othniel, her husband, go to my father and ask of him some land. And so he goes to the father and asks him land. And so now here is Achsah, and she has land. So that's she's received wonderful land where she can live. And that's a picture of us as Christians. And we have received a place. We've received a place in heaven. We've received a place in the kingdom of God. You find in John 14, the Lord Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." And so Jesus there says, "I've gone to prepare a place for you." And each one of us, as we became Christians, we had our place in the kingdom of God. We had our place where we could dwell. And so it was with Achsah, that she received land from her father. She received a place that she could dwell. But you know, sometimes for us as Christians, we're dwelling in the kingdom of God. Each one of us here is saved people. We're dwelling in the kingdom of God. We have our place here. But you know, sometimes for us as Christians, it can feel dry. It can feel as if we're not blessed. Even though the Lord Jesus Christ has died on the cross for us and purchased our salvation, we know that we have a blessed hope. We know that we will spend eternity in the presence of God. And yet, right now, we can feel dry. We can feel that we are not blessed. And so it was that for Achsah, that she had the land, and yet there was a lack of blessing. There was a lack of fertility, as it were. And so, having received that land, she goes to her father and she says, "You have given me a south land." She says, verse 19, "Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water." And so she needed something as well as the land, as well as a place in which to dwell. She also needed blessing. She also needed the water to be flowing in order that she might enjoy the land. Because if imagine having a dry piece of land without water, nothing can grow. And you can live there, you can pitch your tent there, you can build a house there, but what kind of life is it if you don't have water? When we're in Uganda, we experience, as it were, the necessity for water, and it comes home to us in a very strong way, because in the house where we live, which, unlike a lot of houses, we have taps, we have running water there, but you can wake up any morning and the water is off. Very often, occasionally we get it in this country, and they tell us it's going to be off for maybe just a few hours, but there it can be off. And then you find it's off for many days, and you have to go up and go up to the pump, and you have to pump your own water, and you bring jerry cans back to where you are, and suddenly you realize the importance of water, for drinking, for cooking, for bathing, for all of it. And so if we're in a situation, we can have a wonder, the most beautiful house, the most beautiful land, but without the water, we have no life. And so water is a symbol of life and the blessing that flows from the Lord. So in that place where she has the benefits of the land, she goes to her father and says, "Give me a blessing. You've given me a south land. Give me also springs of water." And so here's the wonderful thing. This is a picture of our Father in heaven. Not only does he give us a south land, not only does he give us a place in his kingdom, but he also gives us blessings. He gives us something that will give us life and uplift us and give us enthusiasm and make our hearts overflow with joy and cause us to be able to sing. And it's always been a sign of Spirit-filled Christians that they sing, that they get together, they lift up their voices to the Lord. And traditionally in Spirit-filled churches, there has been an overflow of singing. In traditional Pentecostal churches, the singing would lift the roof. I think I've told you before, when the BBC went as a one-off to record a Pentecostal service, they went and they set their microphones around. And they were used to recording in Anglican churches and perhaps sometimes Baptist churches. And they set their recording equipment up and they set it at the normal levels. But when they heard the Pentecostal people singing, it was so loud and it was so uplifting that they had to turn all their dials down on their recording equipment, because otherwise it would have been far too loud as they broadcast it. And so as we look at what this blessing is that is symbolized here by the springs of water, the upper and the lower springs of water, we find that it's a symbol of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 7, says, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.'" And we see again in John chapter 4, with the woman at the well, Holy Spirit is symbolized by springs of water, the flowing of this living water. And so as we come and we are perhaps feeling dry sometimes, feeling discouraged, when we've got problems in our lives, when we feel weighed down, God has promised us this well of living water that should be within us, that flows out, that doesn't just water us, that isn't just a blessing to us, but it's a blessing to other people. And when we're in a place of discouragement, when we're feeling low, when we have problems, this is what we should do. We should go to God and say, "Fill me with your Holy Spirit once more. Let these fountains of living water spring up from within me. I'm a saved person. I'm part of your kingdom, but I need another blessing. I need the power of your Holy Spirit to flow up out of my heart as a fountain of living water, that it not only refreshes me, but it refreshes other people." And sometimes we are discouraged by the situations of life, things that we go through. We feel down, we feel low, problems come at us. But the Lord would say to us that the first thing and the essential and the main thing that we need to do is to go to Him and ask Him for the Holy Spirit. Don't go first and ask Him to deal with your problems. God can deal with our problems, but the first thing that we need to do is to go to Him and get filled with the Holy Spirit, because when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, it deals with every other problem. Let me say that again. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, it deals with every other problem. That's why our first priority is to go to God and save people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, Aksa, in her situation, she didn't go to her father and say, I need fruit. My land is not fruitful. There's nothing growing here. She didn't say, I want grapes and pomegranates and all sorts of different fruits that I can harvest. She didn't go and ask for gold and these other things. But she went to him and she asked for water. She asked for the springs, because you see, the springs could deal with every other situation. When there were springs of water, she could grow fruit, she could grow plants, she could set fruit trees. And because of the water, they would be fruitful. They would yield forth an abundance. She didn't need to go and ask for gold, for any kind of riches, because when there is water, she could grow a harvest, and that harvest could be sold and provide for her. And so, as we see her, she just went and she asked for water, and it solved every other problem. And when we are willing to go to the Lord and get filled again with the Holy Spirit, this living water that's within us that will flow out of us, it will solve every problem. Why? Because when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we make the right decisions. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, there is a joy in our hearts. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we know what to do in every situation that we find ourselves in. And we don't have to worry. There's a joy. There's a sense of overcoming. In Ephesians chapter 5, it says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. It's saying don't go to wine to get your sense of joy and excitement. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we have this sense of overflow. And so the Holy Spirit answers every question. And so our first priority is to go to our Father and say, I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If we're depressed, if we're discouraged today, if we have problems today, if we have financial difficulties today, we need to go to the Lord and get filled again with the Holy Spirit. And that will solve every difficulty that we have. And so often we go after other things. We're seeking after other solutions to our problems instead of going to the fountain of living water and going to the Lord and asking for fountains of living water that they might spring up within us. In Jeremiah in chapter 2, God is speaking to his people, and he says, verse 13, he says, my people have committed two evils, for they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. And so that's a very good picture of us in our lives when we have difficulties and problems and we're feeling low and discouraged. Instead of just dropping everything and going to the Lord, and who, as is described here, the fountain of living waters, he says, you've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. Instead of going to the Lord, who is this fountain who will make everything right when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we go to every other thing and we seek to work it out for ourselves. And he says we seek broken cisterns. You know what a cistern is? A great thing that can hold water. And we go and we have broken cisterns. We try and store our water. We try and have our own blessing. We try to be self-sufficient. We try to find the answers in ourselves. We try to find the answers in other people. We try to find answers in the world. So, you know, very easy as Christians, I hear a lot of Christians talking about what the politicians need to do. And if only the politicians would do this, it would change the country. And one could be very tempted to think like that. But you see, the politicians are broken systems. They can't answer the problems of society. They can't change the country. And so he says, we've gone to all these other things as an answer to our problems rather than going to the Lord. But he says, just return to me, the fountain of living water, rather than coming to these broken systems. You see, if you have a broken system, what happens? There it is. It's a system, but it's broken, and you pour water in. What happens to the water? Where does the water go? It drains away, doesn't it? And however much you put in, you don't have any. After a very short time, it just drains away. And when we are trusting in our own resources, maybe we're trusting in our own money, and we're wondering where the money is going to come from, or we're trusting in our own abilities to bring the blessing, or we're trusting anything other than the Lord, as much as you pour into it, it drains away, and very soon there is nothing there. You try and bring blessing into your own life. Maybe this will bring blessing. Maybe if I buy this, if I have this, it will bring blessing. And you buy something, and you, as it were, put it in the system. But what happens when you buy something and you think it's going to be such a pleasure, such a treat? You think it's going to make you feel good? What happens the next day? Well, usually, often it disappoints. And even if it doesn't disappoint, even if it is quite a good thing, very soon you'll be thinking, well, I need something else now. I need something else to make me happy. Shopaholics, they go out and buy something and it makes them feel uplifted for 5 minutes. And then the next day they need to buy another thing and it drains away and their money drains away. And soon they don't have anything. It's a cistern, a broken cistern. It holds no water. It holds no blessing. But when we go to the Lord, he's a fountain of living water. And the great thing is not only is he a fountain of living water, but he's a fountain of living water who dwells in us. So you don't have to go outside to get this fountain of living water. But as we get filled with this Holy Spirit, he comes and dwells in us. And that's a continual source of blessing that doesn't come from the things that we have. It doesn't come from our outward circumstances, but it comes from the presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling inside us. Jesus said to his disciples, the Holy Spirit is with you, but he's going to be inside of you. And this is the great promise of the Father, the promise of Pentecost, that this fountain of living water dwells in us, so that whether we're locked in a prison, and you know, one day more and more Christians are going to be persecuted and imprisoned for their faith as we get to the last days. They think of Christians across the world throughout history and more recent times. They've been imprisoned for their faith, but no one can keep from them from that fountain of living water because it dwells inside of them. Whatever the prison guards do to them, the fountain of living water is inside of them. They cannot separate them from this fountain of living water. You know, the only thing that can separate us from this fountain of living water is our sins. And as we turn from the Lord and start to find our blessing in other things, we remember the story in Genesis 26, we've referred to this before, and it says in verse 18 of Genesis 26, and Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. There's a picture. Abraham previously had dug wells, and there'd been a source of water, and they had this flow of water. But the enemy, the Philistines, had filled them up. They didn't want them to have these wells of water. And so they came and they threw rubbish, they threw rocks and all sorts of rubbish down these wells till they were full. And they were blocked. And even though there was a well of water that was there, it should have been accessible, it wasn't accessible. And so it says that Isaac digged again. He digged again the wells that Abraham, his father, had dug. And we may look back at times in our lives when we were filled with the Holy Spirit, where we were overflowing with the Spirit, when we were overflowing with the joy of the Lord, when we were moving in the Spirit, when we were moving in the gifts of the Spirit. And yet we feel that today something is not as it was. That overflow of the Holy Spirit, that power of the Holy Spirit, that thing that gave us joy and made us, as it were, fertile as Christians, where we were fruitful, it isn't as it was. As it was before. And what is the answer? Well, the devil has brought things into our lives. He's tempted us, and we've perhaps sinned and had bad attitudes. And these wells in us, even though there's a well there in a sense, but it's blocked up because we have allowed things to come into our lives, whether it's worldliness, materialism, whether it's sins that have come into our lives, and we're blocked up. The well is there, but it's blocked up. And we can't have that joy, and we can't have the flow of the Holy Spirit. And so it says, Isaac unblocked the wells. And Isaac is a symbol of the Lord Jesus. Abraham is the father. He's a symbol of God the Father. Isaac is a symbol, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it says that the Lord Jesus, he unblocks these things. And he removes these blockages. And so it is, as we come to the Lord, if we're not feeling full of the Holy Spirit today, perhaps the first thing we need to do is to check we're right with God, confess any sins, say, is there other things that have blocked me up? Have I focused on the wrong things? Is there sin in my life? Is there materialism? Have I loved something other than you, O God? And we unblock it, and there the water. The water is there. The water is there. The Holy Spirit is there. Just as in those wells, the water was there. They just needed unblocking. And the Holy Spirit is available to each one of us. And we only need to return to the Lord. And so here we have this great promise of the Holy Spirit, this great blessing that is available to each one of us. And yes, it brings life to us. It brings joy to us. It deals with every problem that we have. But we have to remember also that the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, is primarily for other people. And in Acts chapter 1, we find the Lord Jesus explaining to them about the Holy Spirit. He says, the Lord Jesus says in Acts 1 and verse 8, "Be ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And when we are filled with the Spirit again, we will also be fruitful, more fruitful than ever in ministry. And we will go out and we can share the gospel, and we will be, as it says, providing rivers of living waters, it says in John 7. These rivers of living water will flow out of our bellies. Where? To other people, that we may bring life to others, that we'll be able to share the gospel in power, as that woman of Sychar, that the woman at the well of Sychar was able to go out and speak to others about the Lord Jesus Christ. So coming to a conclusion, here was this woman. She started off, she didn't have a husband, and she married this victorious man, Othniel. And then she receives land from her father, place in which to dwell. But she knows that she needs more than this. She needs the wells of water, these springs of water. And just as we are in all sorts of different situations of problems, may we be a people who make this a priority and see that we, each one of us, need this well, this spring of living water flowing out on a continual basis, and make it the priority. There is no greater priority in our lives than this, but to go to the Lord and ensure that we are overflowing with the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your words. We thank you that these springs of living water, that you as the spring of living water are available to us, that you've given us a part in your kingdom, yet you also want to give us these springs of water flowing out of us. And we are sorry that we have gone to other sources to deal with our problems, to make us feel right, but we would come to you right now again and say, fill us with your Spirit again. May we truly be overflowing with your Holy Spirit, not only that we might walk in blessing, but that we might be a blessing to others, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.